Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So last few weeks, we had been studying some important, subjects like the great Antichrist system. We see from the Bible that Antichrist is not a literal man who comes with a literal 666 number. It is neither the memory chip or the microprocessor or the tracking device that is injected in some human being. It is none of the, the great rulers of this world. Satan has diverted everybody's mind to think that this is the real image of Antichrist, while Bible tells a different thing. So we have seen from the scriptures where Apostle John clearly says in 1 John 2, 18, 19, that even during the days of apostles, there were many antichrist. If there were many antichrist during the days of apostles, just we need to think whether it was a memory chip, whether it was a tracking device, or whether it was any some electronic device, that is injected into human body, or is it the great the rulers and the warriors of this world? Because none of this existed during the days of apostle. So Satan is a very cunning fellow. He is really diverting the Christians from identifying the real Antichrist. So we have seen that the Antichrist is a system, is a corrupt religious system among Christianity and not other religion. And we also saw what is the meaning of the putting of the seal upon the forehead. And putting the seal upon the right hand, putting the seal upon the forehead, is not a literal seal. Nobody will come and put a literal seal. Even if they come and put a literal seal, nobody will accept. Now the generation is such the people won't accept anybody coming, and putting a seal also. Because the whole world knows that the 666 number is about the great Antichrist, the system. And the Bible says that those who don't have the seal, they will neither be permitted to buy or sell, in the market. So this is not a little market where we buy our grains, food articles, So Satan is not much worried about what we eat and drink. He's not worried about what we really listen and understand and walk according to the word of God. So this is actually speaking about the buying and selling the word of God, where these writings are totally prohibited in all the churches. And putting, the seal upon the head and the hand, we see that that means supporting the system in any way or acknowledging any of the false doctrines of the system. It is like, putting, this seal upon our head or upon our hand, our hands, ourselves. So we should be very cautious of what we believe, what we trust, and what we are supporting, So it's very, very important. And we also saw that how to calculate the 666 number, that this is not a literal number, but this is the name of the beast, as told in Revelation 13 chapter, and the number of the name. So if we calculate the number that is in the name of the title given to Pope, that is Vicarius Filii, the number 666 comes to, identification. So this actually is actually speaking about the great Antichrist system. You see the Roman Catholic system, the papal system, and not only that one, it also includes all the Protestants denomination as well. So Antichrist, we have seen, it is not only the Roman Catholic, it is also the Protestant denomination. Therefore, we read in the Bible that it is compared to a whore, where the whore was sitting upon a beast, and a mother was like the daughter. She was the mother of fathers. That's what's called in Revelation 18 chapter. So mother of fathers means the daughters also are there. daughters also do the same thing what the mothers have done. The mother is the Roman Catholic Church and daughters are the Protestant denomination. So totally, if you see, the entire Christianity is corrupted. So as we have identified the Antichrist system from the Bible, now it is our responsibility to study the next important topic, which Apostle Paul tells every Christian to study, and that is about the great, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us read what Apostle Paul tells in 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 3. 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 3. Joel brother, can you read it?
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not sin shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that they shall not come, except there come falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Thank you, brother. So he tells, Apostle Paul is actually clearly warning about the second coming doctrine. Because, many believed about the various, ideas about the Lord's second coming. But here Apostle Paul clearly tells when the faithful church has to believe or study about the Lord's second coming. This verse clearly says that you need not be soon shaken, nor be troubled in spirit. For that day of the Lord, that is the second coming of the Lord, will not come except there be a falling away and a man of sin be revealed. So first, the man of sin, the great Antichrist system, has to be revealed. The son of perdition, he has to come to the clear light so that the people may identify, and come to know that this is the great Antichrist system. Then only, after this only, the second coming of our Lord will happen. That's what Apostle Paul clearly says. Now, as we have studied about the Lord's, about the great Antichrist system prophecy, now it is our responsibility to study the Lord's second coming as per Apostle Paul. Okay. Now, if we ask anybody about Jesus' second coming, what will the people tell? When will Jesus come? If you ask this question to the Christians, what is the reply we get? Who can tell me? Have you ever asked anybody about Jesus' second coming? And what is the reply that you got, brother? Joel, brother?
Very soon.
Very soon. Any other reply? Okay, Munna sister, any idea? I hope you had no opportunity to ask this question. Okay, Roman sister, Amar brother, have you ever asked this question?
Recently.
Tell me, sister, you're not so?
You will come visibly.
Okay, thank you, sister. You come visibly. Good. Okay, thank you, sister. Roman sister, Amar brother?
Very soon, but not sure when.
Not sure when. Very good.
But how?
Oh, good, sir. So that's the answer which everybody gives. It is the same answer which I also got. See, I began to believe Jesus Christ nearly around 24 years ago. When I first believed, I went to the church the first day. So they all told, oh, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. The pastor came and spoke from the pulpit saying, oh Lord, please come. Oh, here the anointing is falling. Jesus is coming soon. I thought, I am very much blessed. I have come to such a holy church where Jesus himself is coming now. Oh, yo, I can see my Lord once. At least let me see at least him once. I feel so happy. Then 2-3 hours happened. Everybody are singing same message, but Jesus has not come at all. Then I thought, mostly probably Sunday, no? So many churches are there. He needs to attend all the churches and come. So I thought, okay, no, no problem. Something might have happened. He would have got late. Next time we'll see. Next Sunday, same thing. Huh? Oh, coming, coming, coming. Very soon, very soon, very soon. That day, really, I was completely seeing the door only. When Jesus will come, I was seeing the window also. Jesus will come suddenly from the window. Oh, yo, yo, let me see my Lord. But Jesus did not come at all. Same thing went on for months together. Then I thought, what is this? They are telling Jesus will come soon, 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 soon. You know, what is the word they use for coming soon? Maranatha. Maranatha means what? Huh? Even so, Lord, come soon. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation, no? So, the one day what happened? I went and asked, sir, you're telling Jesus is coming. When he will come, please tell me. He told, no, no, brother. Oh, Jesus is coming very soon. But we don't know when he's going to come. Just wonder, brethren, how much time it will take for an angel to come from heaven to earth. How much time it will take? It's given in the Bible, no? So many God children were praying. So immediately angel came from heaven. You see, how much time did the angel take to come from heaven? Tell me, how much time? Approximately, tell me. Pro Minister, Amar Brother, Munaster, Joel Brother. How much time it will take for an angel to come from heaven? You're all there. You're all there. You're all, are you able to listen to my voice?
Yes, brother. Yes.
Tell me. Any idea? Read Matthew 18:10. Please, somebody, Romister or Amar brother, read Matthew 18:10.
Just a second, brother. Matthew 18:10.
Okay, somebody else, if you open the Bible, you can read Matthew 18:10.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
You see, it says, the angels behold the face of the Father in heaven. You see, that means what? Angels are so fast that they come at lightning speed. You see, they always behold the face of the Father, it seems. You know, remember Daniel 9 chapter where Daniel was praying. So immediately God gave a commandment to Gabriel to go and, you see, answer Daniel and correct him. Immediately, the angel Gabriel swiftly, he came to see Daniel. So, there are a lot of examples in the Bible where the angels come within fraction of a second, sir. You see, to this earth. Dear brethren, the angels are at lightning speed. Then, just imagine, how much time then it will take for our Lord to come back at the second coming. Surely, it should be not more than lightning speed, isn't it? Then why Jesus is not yet come? You see, coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. You see, everybody are telling that it's coming soon. But when we ask about the date and time, they will tell, nobody knows about the day. Nobody knows about the time. Nobody knows about the hour. Why? Because Jesus himself said that one in Matthew 13:32. Read Matthew 13:32. Munna sister, can you read Matthew 13:32?
Matthew or Mark, brother?
Oh, sorry, Mark 13:32. Thank you.
But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.
You see, but of that day and that hour, no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son. Jesus himself doesn't know it himself when he is going to come at second advent, but only the Father knows. Therefore, if you ask anybody this question, they will tell, nobody knows. Not even Jesus Christ knows. Only Father knows. Dear brethren, when did Jesus tell these words to the disciples? You see, Jesus told these words to the disciples when he was alive on this earth. He has not proved his faithfulness to God until his death. You see, hence, the complete authority, the complete revelation of everything was not disclosed by God to Jesus Christ. You see, because he had not proven his faithfulness unto death on the cross. But once Jesus died and proved his faithfulness, all the secrets of the Bible, all the hidden mysteries of God's plan and purposes was clearly revealed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is the reason in Matthew 28:18, Jesus tells, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Read Matthew 28:18. Roman sister or Amar brother, can you please read?
One second, brother. Can you tell me the verse again?
Matthew 28:18.
Matthew 28:18.
Correct.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
See, all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. But when did Jesus receive this entire power? He did not receive it when he was still in the flesh. He received it only after proven faithfulness till death. In the resurrection, God gave the entire authority. So, before, Jesus did not have this authority. See, that is given to us very clearly in book of Revelation, 5th chapter, verses 1 to 6 also. Let us read one by verse, verse by verse, sir, of Revelation 5th chapter. Munna sister, can you read please Revelation 5:1? Munna sister, are you there?
Yes, brother, which verse?
Revelation 5th chapter, verse 1.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the back side sealed with 7 seals.
You see, here John sees a vision where God is sitting on the throne, and in his right hand is having a scroll that is written inside and outside, but it is completely sealed with 7 seals. So, what is this vision? What does it actually mean? You see, it shows God, who is the emperor of the universe. He is having everything under his control. You see, even the word of God is in his hands. And this word of God is not so open to everybody. But it is like a sealed book. Nobody can open and read the Bible just like that. You see? So, the scroll was written inside and outside. That's what the verse says. So, inside means what? There are so many things which are in depth, which had lot of meanings. You see? The deep things of God, those things were hidden. That was sealed with seven seals. So until you open the seal, nobody could understand what is there inside. So seven means what in the Bible, if you see? Seven in the Bible means a complete picture. You see? So Bible is completely sealed. Until, you see, God opens the seal, nobody can see what is there inside. You see? Let us read Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 11 and 12. Amar brother, can you read Isaiah 29, 11 and 12? Amar brother, you there?
Yes, brother.
Brother, Isaiah 29, 11 and 12.
Okay. And the vision of all the become into you as the word of a book that is sealed, which means delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I prayed thee, and he said, I cannot, for it is sealed, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he said, I am not learned.
See, how is the word of God? It is sealed book. Neither can the learnt understand it. Neither can the unlearned also understand it. So understand the Bible. God's Holy Spirit is first of all important. So the Bible was a sealed book. You see, it was completely in the hand of God. Means it was under his control. So when nobody could read what is inside, what would the people read? Just what is printed outside the scroll. You see, so it was like a scroll. Somebody could read whatever is printed outside. Therefore, until Jesus revealed to the church, the entire Christians were just able to understand only the outward things. Deep things, they were not at all able to understand. Okay, next, what happened? Revelation 5, 2. 2, 3, 4. Continue, please. Revelation 5th chapter, verses 2, 3. And 4. Last time who read, you can continue.
Revelation 5, 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept most, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
Very good.
And I be.
So here, if you see, John, you see, he sees this one and begins to weep, because there was not even one worthy found to open the scroll and read what is inside this book, it seems. So John began to weep. As John was weeping, you see, the angel came and strengthened him, saying, don't worry, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has overcome to break open the scroll and read what is inside the scroll. Continue, sir. Munashta, please continue from where you stopped.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth.
Very good, sir. So, immediately, as John was weeping, an angel, sorry, elder comes and strengthens him, saying, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has overcome and proved worthy to open the scroll and see what is inside." We all know who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Jesus Christ.
Very good. Jesus Christ is found worthy. You see? So how did he prove himself worthy? It is only after his death on the cross. So once Jesus died on the cross, he proved himself worthy. So that he can open the scroll and, you see, show it to everybody. You see, that's what Jesus did. He took the, you see, scroll, opened it. Therefore, Matthew 28:18, we read now, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me." Therefore, what did Jesus say when he was on earth? He said, "If I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Once the Holy Spirit comes, that shall lead you into all truth." You see, read John 16:13, sister. Munashtar, please read John 16:13 also.
"A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father."
John 16:13, sure?
Sorry, brother. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come."
Very good, sir. See, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall lead you to all truth. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus gave this Holy Spirit to the church only after his death on the cross and his resurrection, where he went to heaven and received this authority. Then only Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, poured the Holy Spirit upon the church. So, okay. So, first Jesus did not know, but once Jesus died and proved his faithfulness, now Jesus knows everything. He says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." You see? And do you think that the church also will not know at all about the second coming? No. There's no scripture which tells that the church won't know at all. You see? The Bible says the church will know about the Lord's second advent, it seems. Let us read, you see, 1 Thessalonians 5:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Gopal brother, can you read? Sorry, Gopal brother. Joel brother, can you read?
"But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you."
You see? "But of the times and season, brethren, it is not necessary that I write unto you." No. Here, Apostle Paul is speaking about which times and seasons. You see? Mark 13 chapter we read regarding the time, regarding the tower, which no man knows. You see? But here, Apostle Paul is speaking of the time and seasons, which is not necessary for me to write. That means what? Not required at all. No, no. Because you already know it. Continue with the Joel, read from the Bible, read verse 2 also. Joel, brother, you can continue reading from the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:2.
Okay, brother. "For yourselves know perfectly that they of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
You see, he is speaking about what? The day of the Lord. He is speaking of the day of the Lord and comes like a thief in the night. Therefore, he is speaking, it is not necessary for me to write about the day of the Lord. Which is the day of the Lord? Jesus' second advent, because you already know it. You see? Now, read 1 Thessalonians 4 chapter 16, 17, 18. Read, Joel brother, please read.
For the Lord himself shall, sorry, 16?
Correct.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yeah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
You see, here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is speaking about the Jesus' second advent. How the Lord shall descend himself from heaven with the shout of an archangel, with the trump of God, and when he is going to return, what will happen is that the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, this clearly proves that when Jesus is going to return at the second advent, some faithful members will be on the earth. You see, and it says, and those who prove faithfulness shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And Apostle Paul says, comfort you with these words. So which clearly proves that Jesus' second coming, the purpose of it, who will come to know? The church will come to know. After telling 1 Thessalonians 4:18, 1st Thessalonians 5th chapter begins. Actually, in the original Bible, there is no chapter division, there is no verse division. This was done for sake of convenience, for better understanding. That's it. But this is not done by the Lord. This is not, divisions were made by the none of the apostles also. So, here it tells that Jesus, you will be able to clearly understand, because there is no need for me to write unto you. That means the church will know about Jesus' second coming. Okay. If the church knows about the Jesus' second advent, then we need to understand about Jesus' second advent. You see? Then, this subject, what we are going to cover is that, in the first part, we are going to cover why Jesus' second coming. Why is Jesus going to come? The second advent, okay? And second part is that we are going to see the general expectations, how Jesus will come at the second advent. What do the people think? You see? And the third one is we are going to see how really Jesus is going to come. Isn't it? Fourth part, then how to see this Jesus, or how to identify this Jesus, you see. Then, the date of his second coming, we're going to see the date also, okay. So, now let us come to the part one, first part. You see, when is Jesus' second advent? Why is Jesus' second coming going to come? Why is he going to come again? Dear brother, this is the first important thing we need to understand. See, Jesus is going to return again to rule on this earth for a period of 1,000 years. You see, he's going to rule as King of Kings. You see, Lord of Lords. You see, for a period of how many years? 1,000 years, dear brethren. So, this is the main purpose of Jesus' second advent. Next, he comes to bruise the head of the serpent. You see, we know that the subject of the seed of the woman. You see, Satan is going to be shortly crushed, and what all things he trusted is going to be destroyed. Okay. And the third one that is going to come in the second advent is going to come to judge the world. You see, let us read John 14:19. Roman sister, can you read? Sorry, Jude 14. Roman sister, can you read Jude 14th verse, sister, if you don't mind? Okay.
Yes, okay. Brother.
Please, please, sister. Sister Jude, verse 14.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saint. Continue.
To execute.
To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed.
Thank you, sir.
And of
thank you, sir. Anyway, it clearly says Jesus' second advent is going to come to judge the world. Okay. So this is one more point. And next point is why Jesus is going to come is to completely take the church. What did 1 Thessalonians 4:16 say? That we shall join the Lord in the air. You see? So that means the resurrection of the church, in the first resurrection, it will be happening only after the advent of Jesus Christ, not before the second advent of Jesus. Read John 14 chapter 2 and 3. Amar brother, can you read John 14, 2 and 3? You there, brother?
Yes. John 14. In my father's house are many mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you, I got to prepare a place for you. And if I got and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
See, Jesus Christ is going to return second advent to take his church. In the first resurrection, take his church, so the church may be with him and rule with him for 1,000 years. So this is the one important thing also. And next, Jesus, as soon as he returns, he is going to bind Satan for a period of how many years? 1,000 years. Isn't it? Revelation 20, chapter verse 1, 2, and 3. We have clearly read this one many times, isn't it? Jesus, at second advent, is going to bind Satan for a period of 1,000 years so that he may deceive the nations no more. You see? So Satan won't be there in 1,000 years at all. Okay? This is the one of the purpose of Jesus' second advent. Next, as Jesus told, all the dead will be resurrected and brought back to life at the second advent. Read 2 Thessalonians, read John 5:28-29. Joel brother, can you read John 5:28-29?
Okay, brother. 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Very good. So here Jesus tells he's not going to only resurrect the church, but all the dead are going to rise again. All the dead people who are level lived in this earth, they shall all rise again. They shall all come back to life, hearing the sound of the Son of Man. Okay. Now, other purpose of Jesus' coming is Hebrews 9:28. Romy sister, can you read Hebrews 9:28? Read.
Rather 10:28.
Hebrews 9:28.
Just a minute, brother.
Okay, sir.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear to second time without sin unto salvation.
Unto salvation. So Jesus' second advent is going to bring salvation for everybody. For all the people, is going to bring salvation. Okay. Now this is the first part. We have seen what is the purpose of Jesus' second coming. He is going to come to do so many activities. You see, like one way he'll be resurrecting the church, other way he'll be preparing the church, other way he'll be gathering the saints who are dead, you see, and redeeming them. So these are the things which actually Jesus will be doing at you see, the Lord's second advent. Okay. Let us read 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Who can read? Gopal brother, can you read?
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
See, so the general expectation of a Lord's second coming is based on this verse only. The Lord himself shall descend with a voice, with a shout of an archangel. That means what? All the angels will be coming. They will all be blowing trumpets. And Jesus will come with the voice of archangels, loud voice. And what will happen is, sir, all the people who are dead in Christ, you see, literally gone to death, fully sleeping, only days will be made alive. You see, so it says, Jesus is going to come with a loud voice of a trumpet, and the Christians will be resurrected first. You see, therefore you would have seen the concept of rapture now. Rapture means what? You see, one will be taken, other left. You see, imagine if a pilot who is going on the plane, if he is a Christian and doing the type of rapture, if he gets raptured, think about the condition of the people who are living in the plane now. What about them? You see? So, we will see what actually the word rapture means in the Bible. You see? So, it is, it says, you see, the church shall be gathered. Okay. Now, what did Apostle Paul say? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord shall descend with a shout of an archangel. Correct, no? Sound of a trumpet. Now read 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Gopal brother, please continue reading 1 Thessalonians 5:2, brother.
For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
You see, here Apostle Paul says that the day of the Lord should come like a thief in the night. Now you tell me, how will the thief come? Will he come with blowing a trumpet? No, he will come very silently. You see, and finish all his work. By the time anybody comes to know, he would have looted everything. That's how the thief comes, no? He won't come telling everybody. But here, you see, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, you see, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They shall come with a loud shout of archangel. You see, a sound of a trumpet. So Jesus will come with the blowing of a trumpet. You see? But here, in 5:2, it says, it will come like a thief. Now will thief come like blowing a trumpet? But everybody may come. You see? The thief won't come and blow a trumpet. He will come very silently. Not everybody, not anybody can identify at all. Only few people will come to know. And immediately, what will happen? You see? He will go. You see? Nobody will come to know at all. This is how Jesus is going to come. And how he is going to come? He is going to come with a trumpet blow? Or he is going to come so that nobody can, you see, come to know. So which is correct? We will see. Next verse, read Acts 1:11, brother. Read Acts 1:11. Amar brother, can you read Acts 1:11?
Okay, Acts 1:11, which also said, "Ye men of Galil, why stand ye gazing off into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken off from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven."
You see, like manner he will come as you are seeing him going. Similarly, he will come the same way. Now tell me, will the thief come in the same way? So that everybody can see. No, no. The thief will come in the night. That's what the Bible says. But here it says, people will see him. Read one more verse, brother. Revelation 1:7. Revelation 1:7.
Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall will become of him. Even so, amen.
Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him. Huh? How can every eye see him when he is coming like a thief? When he is coming like a thief, how can he blow a trumpet? So how do you understand this verse? Let us read John 14:19. Read John 14:19. Romister, can you read John 14:19?
Yet a little while, and and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
See, he says, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. You see, Jesus is saying, only little while I'll be there. After that, the world cannot see me at all. You see? Then, if the world cannot see Jesus, then how come everybody, every eye can see him? You see? See these verses are contradicting to each other. One verse says, every eye shall see him. other verse, Jesus himself says, the world cannot see me. One verse says, he shall come like a thief in the night. One verse says, he'll come blowing a trumpet. How can a thief come like blowing a trumpet? You see? Then how can everybody see? Well, Bible says that no man can see. Dear brethren, to understand this one, you see, first of all, we need to study a few things about Jesus Christ. Now, what is that one? First, we need to study how Jesus came to this earth. You see, in what way did he come to this earth? Okay? Then, we need to study how he died. Okay? How Jesus actually died. You see, in what way, what was the way of his death? You see? And then we need to see what or how he was resurrected. You see? How Jesus came, how Jesus died, and how Jesus was resurrected. After this one only, we will understand how Jesus is now. How is Jesus to look at? In what nature is our Lord? Now, how do we identify it? Then, at last, we will come to know how Jesus will come again. So, these 5 points has to be studied. If we need to understand the second coming of Jesus. You see, first we had told about the 6 points. But in point number 2 only, we have subheadings. You see, how he came, how he died, how he was resurrected, how is now Jesus, and how he will come again. So, these things are very important. So, coming week, we will study about these 5 points. But next time when you are coming, you all please make a homework. Okay? Shall I give you an homework, a small homework? Will you all do it? Joyce brother, Munna sister, Romy sister, if I give you homework, you all do it.
Yes, brother.
Yes, brother.
Okay. It's very simple. Next week when you're coming, please identify in the Bible how many times Jesus appeared to the disciples after resurrection. Okay? How many times Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection from the dead. Okay? We all know Jesus died on Friday and on Sunday was resurrected. And since then, since his resurrection, how many times did he appear to the disciples? Take all these incidents, make a list of it, kindly put it in a group in order 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, my humble suggestion, don't search the Google. Search the Bible. It will be really very, very fruitful, very useful for our class next week. Okay? Anybody has got any doubts, any questions? Anybody? Joel brother? Munna sister? Romy sister?
No question, brother.
I'm curious about further classes, brother, but for today, no questions.
Okay, so good. Yeah. Then we'll see next week. So until then, Lord bless you. So the end, brother Joel, brother, can you offer a prayer?
Yes,